It's Tuesday night, Jaguars fans. Time for the Jaguars Coaches Show.
Jaguars Coaches Show.
With your host, play-by-play man Brian Sexton, and the head coach of your Jacksonville Jaguars, Mel Tucker.
Mel Tucker.
The Jaguars Coaches Show is brought to you by Sonny's Real Fit Barbecue, Wells Fargo, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars.
The voice.
Brian Sexton.
Good evening. Brian Sexton along with Jaguars head coach Mel Tucker, and we are here until straight up 7 o'clock to talk about the Jaguars, about the National Football League, Christmas, whatever is on your mind. And with that, coach, welcome in. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good, and this will be the first of many this week that you are told Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you and yours.
And how is the Tucker family doing as Christmas approaches? Not that you're around that much, but I'm sure they're doing great.
I heard they're doing pretty good.
And your wife, is she adjusted to being the head coach's wife?
I think she's working on it.
Okay.
But she is busy with the kids and getting ready for Christmas and things like that. The kids are out of school now, so
right.
She's got her hands full.
And as much as being the head coach is important, they'd rather talk to Santa Claus, I'm sure, right now.
Absolutely. It's all about Santa Claus.
And, the guy in the red suit, Dad.
That's right.
Exactly. When he comes through the door, we'll wake up.
That's right.
Our phone number this evening, if you'd like to join us, 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. A couple of days off for your football team. Because of the Thursday night game and the Saturday game, you had some unique scheduling opportunities. How did your team respond to a couple of days off when you got them back today?
I think they responded well. There were quite a few guys in for treatment, you know, on those days off, and that's absolutely what they have to do. And so they were very responsible in that regard. But then coming into the building today, guys seemed to be fresh, you know, renewed, focused, you know, ready for the next challenge. The meetings were outstanding. Guys were dialed in, and then the practice that we had today, I was very, very pleased with that. We decided to change it up a little bit, and instead of giving the players 10 minutes of individual time with their coaches to work on fundamentals, we doubled that to 20 minutes because we really need to work on our technique and fundamentals and our just base execution. And the guys responded well to that, and that just set up the rest of the practice. It was sharp. It was crisp. Guys were playing fast. Pad level was great. Execution was there, and we're going to take that and build that momentum until tomorrow.
You know, Coach, it sounds very simple, but, I mean, why wouldn't 20 minutes be a good number for fundamentals every day? It's only 10 more minutes than you already do.
Absolutely, and you have to prioritize, you know, what do we want to work on, what do we want to get done today in a certain amount of time.
I mean, are you limited to the amount of time you can be out on the practice field by the new CBA?
Yeah, I mean, we, obviously, the CBA, you know, they have rules and how many times you can be in pads and things, how long you can keep them out there and things like that. But really, you know, at this point in the season or any time in the season, we really have to be judicious about how much we keep them out there anyway.
Right.
Because, you know, there's only a certain amount of reps that you can give guys during a week and expect them to be ready to go on game day. It's a human performance business, and guys, you know, they can only take so much. So we have to be sharp and pay close attention to that.
Any thoughts? I mean, the season's not yet complete, but thoughts on that rule with, 11 padded practices over the course of the regular season and how it's impacted?
Well, I embrace the rules. I mean, they're in place. They're going to be there. So it's just a matter of, you know, who's going to do the best job of following the rules and working within the rules to get the football team ready to go. And so I feel like, you know, we're going to do a great job.
I can't imagine you being in pads with your MASH unit that you're carrying around right now anyway.
Well,
as many guys as on it. You put another one on injury reserve this week.
We sure did. And so Darcell McBath, we just got him, and we were able to get a tackle and a couple assists. And
yeah, some special teams work.
He did a great job for us, and we had to put him down. But, when you go in pads, you know, you want to get something done. You know, typically, you know, you want to work on the run game, you know, offensively and defensively. You know, the name of the game is hit. You do have to block. You do have to tackle. And, you know, you can't really get around that. But, you know, sometimes you feel like you can't put the pads on the guys because of the wear and tear or the amount of injuries and things like that, and then you have to work without the pads and still try to work on pad level, hands, eyes, feet, you know, leverage, things like that, and without the banging that you typically get with the pads.
You know, we talked about a couple of days rest and that creating an energy level. What about the conversation that they had with the Jaguars' new owner, Shad Khan, who spoke to them on Saturday, I believe? Did you see an energy from that at all? Because the players talked about how he encouraged them to win now.
I did see an energy. I think there was an anticipation about meeting him and what would he be like and what would be his message. And, you know, players want to win, you know. And so anytime, you hear that from an owner, and him saying that, hey, we want to win now and we want to finish strong these last two games, I think that motivates the players big time. They know it's an evaluation or for them. You know, everything we do, players and coaches, is always an evaluation in any year, at any point in the year. And so I think they were motivated by that, no doubt. And he really connected with the players. I thought that he did a great job with these guys.
How about you? On Thursday night on our radio broadcast of the game, he talked about getting some time with you one-on-one. Would you be so kind as to share a couple of thoughts from your meeting with him?
Well, we did get some time, and I thought it was great because I got to know a lot more about him and just his personality and what's important to him, you know, on and off the field. And then he was able to ask me some pointed questions. I think he got a much better feel for what type of person I am, what I stand for, and what he can expect from me out of the in the future.
All right. That is Coach Mel Tucker, and this is the Jaguars Coaches Show. We step aside for our first break of the evening. When we come back, your calls, your questions, your comments, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. It's Christmas week, it's Titans week, and this is the Jaguars Radio Network. Well, you can win a VIP game day experience to the Jaguars-Colts game on New Year's Day from Gate. You'll get four game day tickets, four VIP Sky Patio lounge passes, and a limo for four people to and from the game. Stop by your nearby Gate gas station to register. Jaguars fans, put Gate in your tailgate. Jaguars and Titans from LB Field in Nashville on Christmas Eve. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff, right? Just want to make sure. Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show. That's Joe Fortunato, by the way, standing there with his subtle nod. Begins at 10 a.m. Suddeth pregame show comes along at noon Eastern time. Aetna pregame show. Can I start this over? For some reason, I was thinking that it was Saturdays were a 12:30 kickoff, and it's not. So, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show at 10 o'clock Eastern time from Nashville. Suddeth pregame show at noon, kickoff at 1, Aetna Big Halftime Show, Winn-Dixie postgame show, Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show, all of it right here on Jaguars Radio. And playing on Christmas Eve is fun. It is. It's fun. I mean, no surprise here. I mean, this is not for a playoff spot. This is for pride, and this is for enjoying the moment. And the moment is you're playing in the National Football League against a rival on Christmas Eve, and it's a chance with a new owner to go do as he asked, win.
These guys have tremendous pride, and there's never been any doubt in our minds about our guys' mental disposition towards competing and wanting to win. And it's just been a lack of execution at times, things like that that make it where you can't be in a left-hand column. And so, but you got a division game, you know, on the road against a good opponent that still has a chance to, you know, possibly, you know, make it to the playoffs. A rival. These guys are motivated and ready to go. They want to finish on a high note. I mean, it's an evaluation. As well, and just from a tremendous pride standpoint, you know, just alone and then wanting to go out there and compete with your teammates and finish on a high note, these guys seem to be very, very motivated.
Coach, how have you kept, and obviously the Falcons are a very explosive offense, but how have you kept this defense together with 10 guys of 24 on the defensive side of the ball who have been with you since November 15th or more recently? That's amazing. And you just brought CeCe Brown in this week. I mean, every week we print these game boards that Jeff Loggeman and I work off of, and by the time we get to Saturday, get on the airplane this week, Friday, it's changed. you know, we're blacking out names and writing in by hand new names. I mean, it's just, this has been a very interesting time for your defense, has it not? And how have you kept them moving forward?
Well, it has been. And the one thing that I have to point out is when Gene Smith brings these guys in here, these are legitimate players. You know, for whatever reason, they may be available. But, you know, these guys, you know, at some point, you know, have made plays in this league, a lot of these guys. And so you have to take that into account.
Sure.
And it is a challenge to plug guys in short order, you know, trying to get ready for a game, you know, maybe, you know, 2 or 3 days before the game. But what we've always done defensively this year is we really focus on what can this guy do? What can these players do? What can they execute? And try to make it where they can do those things more often. And try not to ask them to do stuff they can't do. So the first thing we do with guys that come in, we look at them and say, okay, what can this guy do? And if he has to play, and what can we play when he's in there? And you try to play to your strengths and minimize your weaknesses. And that's how you play good defense. And so that's what we try to do.
Well, in a simple sense, I mean, you talked about simplifying this defense last offseason. And it created great results. I mean, you had a top three ranked defense. Now, all of a sudden, you have to take a simpler scheme and almost even make it more simple, right? I mean, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know, whatever it takes, because the players play fastest when they know what they're doing. And that's how you get execution. And you have to get 11 guys on the same page as much as possible on every play. And so it's better to do what players can do rather than sometimes do what you want to do or what you have done and just sit there and hope that they can get it right, because that's not going to happen.
Right. Guys in the middle in particular, Coach, and I'm talking about Posluszny and Daryl Smith and even Russell Allen. I mean, I sat and did a film room session with Mark Duffner today, and we were talking about Russ and how he's really come along. I mean, those three guys give you a lot of flexibility, don't they?
Yeah, they sure do. I mean, Russell Allen is a young man who is very dedicated. He's worked, you know, tirelessly, you know, for the last couple of years here, and put himself in a position where, and put us in a position, quite frankly, where when he's in the game, we feel real good about him being in there, and on special teams as well. And so that's a tribute to him. And then Coach Duff, you know, working with him, coaching him up. And you got guys like, you know, Puzz and Daryl. Daryl Smith, I mean, those guys are pros that are very, very good players. I mean, you don't want to trade those guys for anyone in the National Football League. Those guys can flat out play football, and they're there week in and week out. And so when you got, you know, guys like that, you know, you got a chance to play good defense now.
I'm biased because I've seen every game that Paul has played this year, and Daryl too. But I don't know that I've seen linebackers that have played at a higher level than those two guys in particular.
You know, week in and week out, these guys play aggressively, attacking, you know, downhill 4-3 linebacker play. I mean, right. That's what they do. And they're smart, and they're tough. They play with pain. You know, they're old school throwback linebackers. I mean, they're big. They can run. I mean, very, very instinctive. And so, you know, you want to be strong down the middle, you know, defensively. And with our tackles, we've been strong. And at the linebacker spot, you know, definitely we are stout down the middle.
All right, folks, the New Year's Day Jaguars-Colts game is Fan Appreciation Day. It's also an appreciation of the Weavers. You can come out and show your appreciation to them for 17-plus great years of football in Jacksonville. Fans will be encouraged to sign a 20-foot banner displayed in the Pepsi Plaza from 10 till noon. You can also create your own banner showing your appreciation and bring them to the game. For tickets, 633-2000 or jaguars.com. This break, then more with Jaguars head coach Mel Tucker on Jaguars Radio. Rolling right along. Welcome back to the Jaguars Coaches Show. Brian Sexton with Mel Tucker. We'll take your calls. In fact, let's start with Dave in St. Augustine. Dave, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, all of that. Nice to have you on the show tonight.
Thank you very much, and to you two gentlemen. Appreciate you taking my call. Let me preface this by saying that this is strictly an opinion of mine. I'm only a fan, so this is only from a fan's point of view. I know with great certainty that I'm not telling anyone anything they don't know, and, you know, I'm just throwing this out there. But one thing that I grew accustomed to really liking and also appreciating about Coach Del Rio was his tendency to go for it on fourth and short. And I felt like there in the, I believe it was the second quarter, I think we were down 17 to nothing. And we had like a, we had moved, maybe we got one first down, you know, but things were kind of going slow or whatever. But I think it was like a fourth and one, maybe less than a fourth and one. And, you know, being down 17 points on the road, I felt like that was probably an opportunity where we could have gone for it and probably got less than a yard. I could be off on the nuts and bolts of the facts of that, but Coach Tucker just wanted to say that that's one thing that I, you know, I felt like in that game we could have, you know, I'm not to say if you didn't describe your style or whatever, if you say that's in your style or not, but I just felt that was maybe an opportunity for a spark, you know, and if we could have got that, they could have helped things go on. But that was a tough game there, Coach. You know, I think we made too many fundamental mistakes to take ourselves out of the game. You know, when Jared Dillard fumbled that punt, that kind of that hurt us a lot because I really felt like the defense was really stepping up at that point. So, all in all, I mean, you know, hey, you could always play better, but that was a tough game anyway, coming off a short week and everything. So, good luck this week. Love playing against the Titans. Love it on Christmas Eve. I hope you guys give a good show. It'd be nice to go undefeated against the Titans this year. Undefeated against the Titans.
Okay? You got it.
That'd be great. So, Merry Christmas, everybody. Go Jaguars.
You too. Thanks, Dave.
Dave, I appreciate your call, and I could tell you spend a lot of time watching ball, and you don't have to preface anything that you say on this show. Everyone's entitled to their opinion, and I agree with you. I mean, the turnovers will get you every time, and whether it's a fumbled punt or a strip sack fumble or things like that. You know, typically when you lose the turnover, the battle on the turnover margin, your chances of winning the game go way, way down, and what should be a close game can get away from you. And I think that's what happened to us. And it was just a basic lack of execution and breakdown in technique and fundamentals. And then and any time that we have an opportunity to move the chains on any down, we're going to do it. And when it's fourth down, we have to take a lot of things into account, you know, field position, score of the game, time left in the game, and things like that. And so we'll always look for opportunities to keep the chains moving when we can. And obviously I'm going to have to make decisions, and then only time will tell. And at the end of the day, if those were good decisions or not. But I really respect your opinion, and I appreciate that you're following us, you're pulling for us. You want us to go undefeated against the Titans, and so do we.
You
go
bet.
Jags.
Appreciate that one. You know, there's moments in every game, Coach, where things start to turn. The Falcons went down the field, got a 7-0 lead, went down the field. You stop them, force a field goal, it's 10-0. Their next drive, you have a Kwasi Onsah. I got to practice that. The ball glances off his hands. I mean, if he intercepts the ball there, he may run all the way in or at least set up an offense that's trying to get some rhythm on their side of the field. So you hold them there, force him to punt, and that's where Jared Dillard dropped it. And, of course, they got the ball first and goal in the five, and we know all of a sudden it went from 10-0, you stop, in the span of, you know, 30, 60 seconds of game clock to 17-0. I mean, that's a killer, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, and it happens just that quickly. You know, we're in a game. Defensively, we feel like we're starting to get it figured out, feel like we can start to slow them down quite a bit. And then, like you said, that chain of events, a similar thing you know, took place when similar thing took place a couple weeks ago. The team, it was
San Diego.
It was San Diego.
Right.
Yeah, it was San Diego, and we're right before the half, and we're battling. Then, you know, so turnovers, a couple quick scores. Next thing you know, you're out of the game.
Right.
Just that quickly.
Up 4-10 at the break.
Yeah, and it happens just like that. And now there's the momentum of the game. And then it's hard to climb out of those holes. So, it can get away from you quickly, and that's why in the NFL, execution on a consistent basis, you know, 60 minutes, four quarters in the game, is so important. Because when you make mistakes and you're playing against good teams and good players, I tell you, they'll make you pay for it now.
Guys, that fourth and one Dave was talking about, weren't we deep in our own territory on that play?
Absolutely, and so that's something that I have to take into account. You know, is it you know, risk reward and the time of the game and things like that. And so, you know, if we feel like it would be to our advantage to do it, we'll do it. In that case, we chose not to.
Hey, fourth down, I mean, is a dangerous down. We saw last year, and not to indict anybody, but, it, you know, third quarter against the Colts up there, and you go for it on fourth and one at the 38, 39-yard line. They get the ball. They score on the very next play. It was actually across the 40 because Donald Brown had that long touchdown run. I mean, so you have to calculate exactly how your team is going to respond. That's not an easy thing to do.
No, it's not. And those are decisions that have to be made. And, again, you take all those factors into account. You have to, you know, field position, time in the game, score. You know, what do you think? Do you think you can get it? And then you make a decision, then you move forward.
I suppose there are a lot of people who are listening who are saying, well, why not go for it? I mean, you've got nothing to lose. You're not expected to win. You're not going to make the playoffs. Why not go for it? When you look at these last two games, Coach, these are winnable games for your team, and they're in the division, and you have Mr. Khan who has said, I want you to win. That changes the dynamic. You don't coach like you have nothing to lose, right?
No, I mean, we're gonna coach to win the game, and we're going to play to win the game. And so I think it's very important for everyone to understand that. And that's not going to change. You know, first game, you know, last couple games, middle of the season, it doesn't matter. In the playoffs, out of the playoffs, you know, we're going to do everything we possibly can from a preparation standpoint during the week to win the game. And then once we get into the game, we're going to be fighting tooth and nail to do whatever we can to pull out a victory.
All right, folks, when you're looking for department store style this last week before Christmas and you want discount prices, Steinmart's your place. Six Jacksonville locations. Steinmart, more fashion, less price. And we return with more of the Jaguars Coaches Show after this quick timeout on the Jaguars Radio Network. And welcome back to the Jaguars Coaches Show. Brian Sexton, happy to be joined by Mel Tucker. Joe Fortunato here taking your calls, questions, and comments. Here's a question for you. How do you effectively, as a defensive coordinator, how do you prepare for what I call the one-yard line back, meaning Chris Johnson can score from your one-yard line or his? I mean, the guy's capable of one or 99 yards.
Yeah, he's a tough guy to prepare for, but you just have to make sure that everyone understands that every player on defense is at the point of attack on every play when he's in there. You got to understand that, whether it's front side, back side, D-line, linebacker, secondary, it takes all 11 guys to stop a guy like that. And so, you know, it's technique, it's fundamentals, it's being assignment sound. We got to be physical. And one of the most important things is we got to shed and get off blocks because we have to get multiple guys. We got to get population on the ball carrier because you don't want to leave it up to one guy to bring him down.
He has four 100-yard games this year, two in the last four games, and he's got a couple of games where he hasn't even averaged 3 yards per carry, so it's kind of been hit and miss with him.
Right.
He's a guy, though, that's capable of 2,000-yard seasons, of 228-yard games, and two touchdowns longer than 50, which we saw here a couple of years ago.
Sure.
I mean, the guy just has that explosive nature. How does he open it up for everyone else?
Well, you know, once they get the run game going, typically what has to happen is you try to load the box and try to get more guys down there to stop him, and then that can leave you. Ultimately, it's going to leave you one on one outside, you know, vulnerable to the play action. You know, linebackers step up. You know, corners. You know, one on one. You know, not enough coverage in the intermediate zones behind the linebackers. Things like that. So. What we have to make sure we don't do is we don't want to let him get going. We don't want to get behind the sticks, and we want to get him into third and long situations so we can force him to throw. I mean, that's what it's all about. But, you know, the other thing about these guys is I think he's their second leading receiver.
He is. I was just about to go there.
Yeah, and they do a great job with screens, and then when you drop deep into coverage, then – they're patient enough to throw the check down to him, and then he's a great run after the catch player. But, you know, we have our hands full, but we'll be ready.
You know, there's some great running backs in this game. I mean, Maurice Jones-Drew, in these parts, we think he's the best in the game, and obviously the numbers in his performance this year give that a lot of weight. Adrian Peterson, maybe the prototypical running back in terms of size and speed and production. But neither one of those guys have what Chris has, which is that all of a sudden one and gone gear. The one thing that makes Chris Johnson special is he can get the top end speed in what, two or three strides?
Yeah, it doesn't take much, and he doesn't need much room. And so, you know, if you give him too much space, if you give him a seam, you give him a crease in the defense, and there's no one there, I mean, he's gone. And I've seen him. He's one of those players where you watch film and he will score touchdowns without anyone touching him. And that's because, you know, how fast he is. And you got to remember, I mean, defensively, we got guys out there that are big, fast, strong, and can play football. And so when you see a guy like that, you know, breaking through the line and going untouched for 60 or 50, or I mean, that's a special player, and we just can't let that happen.
Well, that 228-yard game he had up there a couple of years ago, the 80-yard touchdown run, no one touched him. I mean, no one touched him. And that was the part about it that was just mind-blowing is that a running back could get through, you know, the first line, let alone to the second or third level, and not even get touched. And yet that's how quick he can be by you. 355-NFL-1, Terrence is on the north side. Take a question before we take our next break. You're on with Mel Tucker. Good evening.
Hey, Brian, and hey, Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Hey, how you doing?
Doing good. And as a fan, I kind of understand why you may not go for 4th and 1. I mean, probably felt like it wasn't, you know, the score was still in reach. So I kind of understand that. But I wanted to ask you about the quarterback. And I know the hand that you're dealt, and everybody around town has kind of been talking about that position. And Coach, I know you, I know you're in a position where you're kind of interviewing for the job. And if you have a player that's not, in my eyes, is not performing or doing what he's supposed to be doing, to me, it seems like the guy, Luke, has a more of a presence in the pocket, and the line seem to just perform better to me. I don't know if you can comment on that, but I was just wanting to know if I'm wrong on that, or why not take the chance and make a change if the game is out of control. Just wanted to see if what you thought about that. Can you do that, or by you being the interim coach?
Yeah, I'm free to play the players how we feel like we need to play them. First and foremost, I think Blaine gives us the best chance to win. And I felt like that in the beginning, and I feel like that now. Blaine, you know, has improved. You can see that he does have the ability to make plays. He is getting more comfortable in the pocket. And quite frankly, the past couple of weeks, he's played some of his best ball. One of the things that we're really focusing on right now as a football team is we're trying to make sure that we do what we can do best on both sides of the ball and on special teams. Offensively, we have to look and say, here are the players that are available to us at this point right now. You know, offensive line, receivers, backs, and saying, okay, now, this combination of guys right here, what can we execute at a high level on a consistent basis? And then let's focus on doing those things. Let's play to our strengths, minimize our weaknesses, and we've got to play better all the way around, and especially we have to play better around Blaine. Blaine will be the first one to tell you, hey, he's got to get better. There's things he needs to work on. But also, at every other position, yeah, we need a higher level of execution. I think doing those things, along with Blaine improving, I think we'll see better results.
Terrence, we appreciate the phone call. We are overdue for a break. Let's take it now. More to come with head coach Mel Tucker on the Jaguars Coaches Show after this quick timeout on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Jaguars Coaches Show. Brian Sexton along with Mel Tucker. And fans, you can text BBQ, that's BBQ, to 72239. Which will enter you for a chance to win the Sonny's Game Ball Delivery Contest. You could hand the game ball to the referee when the Jaguars finish out the season against the Colts here at Everbank Field. 355-NFL-1, and Bo joins us now from Orange Park. Hello, Bo. You're on with Mel Tucker. Good evening.
Hey, how's it going, guys? How's it going, Coach?
Doing great, Bo. How you doing this evening?
Doing good. Just listening to the show, and the last caller called in talking about Blaine Gabbert. I really think Blaine's got the stuff to be a very successful NFL quarterback. My question to you, Coach, do you think that, you know, these past two drafts, not this recent draft, but the one before that and the one before that one, you know, we spent some high draft picks on some offensive linemen, and do you think we're seeing seeing that pay off for us with Eugene Monroe and the other pick we spent?
Evan Britton.
Well, Bo, I appreciate your call. Yeah, I think Eugene is an excellent player. He's very athletic. You know, he's got good feet. He's got a good punch, good in pass pro, and he's finishing a lot better in the run game, I believe. And so, I think he's a player that's on the rise, and he's going to continue to get better. You know, Evan has been out, and that's been too bad because, you know, he brings a lot of toughness to the table. He has ability, but he's mature. He's a leader, and you know he's a guy that definitely will be dependable in there. But he just has not been available. So that, you know, that does make it tough. But I do think that in terms of the players that we have drafted, and along with the guys that were already here, I think that we have the makings of a solid offensive line. Someone just asked me today about Brad Meester and said, hey, you know, how do you see Brad and what has he done? Brad Meester is an excellent player for us, and we don't talk too much about him. He doesn't talk much about himself at all. But, you know, week in and week out, you know, he gets the job done, and he makes the calls. He leads by example. He's solid in the run game. He's solid in the pass game. And all he does is fight and scrap, and he's there for us week in and week out. And obviously, I mean, he has – you know, a million starts and things like that. I mean, he's just been a great player for us. Uche has done a good job in there. He's really been last week he was much better in his finish, working on his footwork, his pad level, his base. He's an athletic player. He's smart. He's tough. You know, Rackley in there, a young guy, but battling and getting better the past couple weeks. He's improved on his finish, his pad level, and all those things. And so he's growing in there. And then Guy Wimper, all he's done is just go in there and just battle and fight. You know, he hasn't been healthy. He's played with pain, which as many other players have done, but he's a consummate pro. He does everything he can to get out there, and all he does is work and give us all he's got. So I feel good about our offensive line and what we're trying to accomplish there, and obviously we love to get Evan back at some point, and when that happens, that'll just make us even better.
All right, appreciate the phone call, Bo. We need a break. We'll take it now and return more with head coach Mel Tucker on the Jaguars Coaches Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. And welcome back to the Jaguars Coaches Show. Brian Sexton along with head coach Mel Tucker, and we'll go for another 10 minutes or so. We talked a lot about Chris Johnson before we took a few calls there. Tell me about Matt Hasselbeck. I mean, he's a veteran quarterback, and, you know, he's had a couple little nicks and bumps here, and there's been time when they pulled him for locker. But in watching the tape, as I mentioned earlier today with Mark Duffner, he sure seems aware. He understands how things are unfolding in front of him.
Yeah, I like him a lot, and I can see why they like him and why they brought him in. He is very good at reading defenses. He knows where to go with the ball. He can get the ball out quickly, and that's a big part of it. He has commanded offense. It seems like the guys respond to him, and he's a competitor. And when you look at you know, his arm talent, he still can make all the throws. And so you know, I can see why they feel good about him being in there and why they've stuck with him.
You know, last week he found the tight end Cook for 9 catches and 103 yards. And they've been talking about Jared Cook since they drafted him 3 years ago from South Carolina. Obviously, when you've got, you know, Kenny Britt on injured reserve, someone has to pick up the slack. What do you see when you look at this guy? Is he a Owen Daniels, Dallas Clark kind of tight end, or is he more of a Mercedes Lewis?
Well, it's interesting. I recruited Jared out of high school. I mean, he was a basketball player, and he was a wide receiver when I was at Ohio State out of Atlanta. And so he seems like a big wide receiver, just kind of beefed up a little bit over the years, and so he's a tremendous matchup problem because he's faster than most linebackers, and he's got good height. Former like a 6'6" type guy. But then he's bigger than defensive backs, and so that's a tough matchup. And typically he's inside, you know, and so when you try to play base defense against him and you want to play any type of tight man coverage or match coverage, you're going to have a linebacker on him. Then if you play nickel in there and he's usually inside, then you're going to have your nickel back on him, and there's a size mismatch there. So he creates mismatches there, and he seems to be doing a little bit better in the run game too. And so I can see why they like him. They look for him. He's a big target. He's got good hands, and he's got run after the catch ability. He's a running catch tight end, and those guys, every team is looking for him. And when you can find one, you really got something, because those guys are hard to match up with.
One other guy on the offensive side, he's their leading receiver, and obviously with Kenny Britt down. But Nate Washington's a guy who's been around. He was with Pittsburgh. I mean, doesn't run by anybody, but he makes the catch.
Yeah, he makes the catch. I remember playing against him twice a year when I was in Cleveland, when he was at Pittsburgh, and he's been, you know, he's just a very good player. I mean, he always seems to make the big catch, and he's very consistent. And so he's a guy that, he may not be a guy that people talk about, in the media in terms of being one of the elite guys in the league, but from a coaching standpoint, when you look the game plan and try to stop an offense, when he's out there, you better know where he is. You better have someone on him.
All right, folks. So we take our final break here, come back and wrap things up with head coach Mel Tucker after this on Jaguars Radio. And welcome back to the Jaguars Coaches Show. Brian Sexton along with Mel Tucker for about 2 minutes here to wrap things up. Hey, one thing besides Maurice Jones-Drew, we barely have talked about him, and we could build this whole show around how special he is. 60 yards ahead in the rushing title, and I know that you're talking about wins, and he doesn't want to hear about the rushing title. He wants to hear about wins, but you can see in the eyes of that offensive line, they want to get that rushing title. That means something to them.
It does, and our guys, they play for each other, and our offensive line has a tremendous amount of pride. They have a lot to do with Maurice's success, running the ball along with Mercedes and Greg Jones and Zach Potter and guys like that. I'm doing a great job blocking. And Maurice, he'll never talk to you about the rushing title. And, it is all about wins. But I can tell you this, in that locker room, those guys want to get that title for him. And they're all about the right things. And what's best for Maurice is what's best for us. I mean, we're going to run the ball and do everything we can to win, and he's going to be leading the charge.
We have about 40 seconds before the music starts, but your special teams have really come up big the last couple of weeks. Good to see them playing at the level that we've really come to expect around here.
Yeah, and we have to make a difference in special teams. You always want to try to win that phase. Russ Purnell and Nate Castle have done a great job sticking with these guys. We got a lot of young guys filling in, and they've gotten them up to speed. They're bringing a lot of energy to the table, and we're starting to make some strides in that phase, so that's always great.
All right, Christmas Eve in Nashville. That sounds like a country song, doesn't it? 47 and light rain, so it'll feel a little bit like winter. And it's a divisional rivalry, so it's going to feel like the National Football League. It's going to feel like the fun stuff.
That's right. That's right. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be a great venue, a great time for us. And Christmas Eve, what more could you ask for?
And we will leave it at that. We start things off with the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show beginning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. For those of you in Jacksonville, set a pregame show at noon, kickoff at 1. Have a great rest of your week. It's shopping done, folks. Good night, everybody.
This has been the Jaguars Coaches Show. Join us again next Tuesday night at 6 for your chance to talk with Jaguars head coach Mel Tucker. The Jaguars Coaches Show is a presentation of the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.